everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular's single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies like My Date with the President's Daughter
and the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Welcome to the Tudor Dixon podcast. Today, we have a very interesting subject, and I don't want you to tune out when you hear what it is, because sometimes I feel like tuning out when I hear Kamala Harris speak, but this is going to be a whole history of how did Kamala Harris get to where she is, and I really feel like because she is the vice president, we should know how did this happen. And so we've decided to bring in an expert. His name is Charlie Spearing. He is a senior political reporter for the Daily Mail and the author of the new book, Amateur Hour, which is like such a great title. Amateur Hour, Kamala Harris in the White House. Charlie, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I'm going through all this, and I do think that we are wondering how this happened, but you know from the very beginning, and I want to get to that. I just want to kind of dig into something first off, because I think a lot of people have gone, how did she get here? But the Jill Biden situation, because in your book, you talk about Jill Biden not liking her. And I find this interesting because Jill Biden would be in Delaware right now wiping Joe's butt if it weren't for Kamala Harris. So I think she should send her a fruit basket every week.
Well, certainly, Jill Biden is not a huge Kamala fan, as we found out, especially after that moment when she attacked Joe during the primary campaign, accusing him of, you know, saying, "I'm not saying you're racist, but actually I'm accusing you of being a racist." So kind of highlighting his history on issues of federal busing. It was clearly a very political attack, very rehearsed attack. And Jill Biden was not happy about that. And she and the family were not happy when Joe's advisors were suggesting that they pick Kamala Harris, that she was their best choice. So in spite of everything, however, Jill Biden has been cordial with the vice president at this point. But there's certainly no warm and fuzzy feelings between the two of them at this point.
But for Joe, she was absolutely the best choice because from what I understand, Jill wanted Susan Rice. If that were the case, Joe would have had a medical event already. They would have said, "Okay, dude, you're gone. This person is going to step in." Having someone completely incompetent, unable to talk. I mean, I love the way that you said that. Yeah, that question was well rehearsed on the busing. Of course it was well rehearsed. You would think everything else is well rehearsed, but she can't ever get an entire sentence out. And then if she does, it just gets repeated on and on, like maybe a tweak here, a tweak there, but the whole speech is the same word. So we know that it was well rehearsed. But isn't it true that if there were no Kamala Harris, Joe Biden couldn't possibly be in this position?
Yeah, that's a big reason why he's running again for president. If Kamala Harris had emerged as a major national figure, someone that inspired and rallied Democrats to her cause, Joe Biden would have happily given up the idea of running for re-election. But at this point, she is absolutely not ready. And Republicans sort of joke that Kamala Harris is his 25th Amendment insurance, because no one's going to cite the 25th Amendment to get Kamala Harris into office and kick Joe out. So I think that when he first ran for president, Joe Biden really thought he could be a one-term president that would transfer all of the goodwill that the Democratic Party had earned under his first administration to a new star. But Kamala Harris turned out not to be that new star and has ended up really being kind of a millstone on his campaign. Her popularity numbers are even lower than his. So he certainly has to run again, even though maybe that wasn't his idea in the beginning.
Well, I think that Jill should be happy, though, because she's definitely looking forward to four more years in the White House. And this is the only way she even had a shot at it. So instead of puckering up and kissing Doug Emhoff, maybe she should go over and pucker up and kiss Kamala and thank her. But I want to get to the beginning. Like, how does the worst vice president in the history of the country begin? How do we get from there to here? And she's like, now the second in command, and she's just horrible. So tell us about the beginning.
Yeah, the beginning, if you want to go all the way back to her childhood, she was raised in California, and even portions of her life, her childhood, spent in Wisconsin, and then ultimately in Montreal, where she spent her high school years before returning back to California. So she kind of had this life where she lived. And she and her relatives describe it as kind of a feminist household where strong, powerful women are the only ones that are around. Her father and mother divorced when she was very young. And so she really relied on her mother's sort of impetus, her strength, and her confidence in so many ways. And ultimately, she decided to go to college in Howard University in Washington, D.C., and then chose the path of a prosecutor to get into law enforcement and being a city prosecutor in California.
So was it always a political path for her? Did she know that? I mean, I know she was like the socialite for a while. So how did she turn into the political?
Well, the key to that is her relationship with Willie Brown. And Willie Brown is one of the most famous politicians in California history. He is definitely one of the most powerful political forces that the state has ever seen. He was, the speaker of the state legislature for so long until he was term limited out of a job. But he still wanted to play around in politics, so he ran for mayor of San Francisco. That's when he meets Kamala Harris. Willie Brown needs to prove he can sort of hold a stable adult relationship. He's currently, married to his wife Blanche, even though they're long estranged. But he never divorced her, and just remained kind of a playboy politician for so long. But as he's running for mayor of San Francisco, he decides to start a relationship with Kamala Harris. And Willie Brown's 60 years old at this point, and Kamala Harris is a 29-year-old. Prosecutor from Alameda County, relatively unknown. And so they start dating, and really the gossip columns really approved of the relationship because, Kamala really was able to demonstrate that she was, a level above the usual women that he hung out with.
Wow, that was a compliment. I mean, I think we've all heard the stories of Kamala Harris climb the ladder on her knees and all of that kind of story. But did this relationship, which is pretty, I mean, the average person says this is pretty disgusting. She was what you said, 28, 29?
29 years old, Willie Brown 60. And it's really a relationship of convenience. Willie Brown introduces her to all the wealthy, movers and shakers of San Francisco, opens all these doors to all the different socialites, all the different people who actually have the power and influence in California. When you're running in California, you don't have to necessarily prove yourself to the voters.
Right.
You have to prove yourself to the Democrat elites and the major donors of the party. And Willie Brown kind of taught her how to just throw the door open, show up and demand a seat at the table. That's sort of what he did throughout his entire career. But he also gave her a few other perks as well. She was appointed to multiple state boards in California, where you show up and do a couple meetings a month and get paid pretty well to do that. Mm. She earned about $400,000 over a period of just a couple years while she was right after she started dating Willie Brown. And she, you know, $400,000, you put that in today's numbers, that's close to $1 million in, you know, adjusting for inflation.
What did she have to give Willie Brown for all of this?
Well, she certainly, you know, was on his arm as his girlfriend. And there was, you know, the rumors and the gossip columns were that they might even get married. After Willie Brown was elected, there was a specific report talking about potential wedding bells for the two of them. But Willie Brown sort of broke off that relationship right before the inauguration. It's funny, at the election party, Kamala Harris was featured and she gave him a kiss and put a hat on his head, you know, declaring him the mayor. And then when it came time for the inauguration, Kamala was nowhere to be seen. And his estranged wife, Blanche, returned to sort of hold the Bible. And Willie Brown swore in with that sort of framework taking place. So it was very clear that Willie Brown was done with Kamala Harris and it was time to move on.
So not only was this a grooming of sorts relationship-wise, he was grooming her politically. I mean, they're obviously both getting something out of this. Here he is walking around with this right. young woman and boosting his identity by being in all of the tabloids and going to all of these parties. And she is probably enjoying the spotlight of being on his arm and going in there and meeting all of these politicians. So at what point does she then go to that next level? Well, they break up, but somehow at some point she becomes close with Obama and she becomes kind of a nemesis of Newsom. How does that all happen?
Yeah, so Kamala ended up getting hired by the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, and she famously clashed with the progressive, you know, district attorney there. She ended up leaving and then running her own campaign against him as kind of a little bit of a revenge campaign, taking over for this arguably very progressive prosecutor, Terrence Hollinan. He was kind of the anti-Rudy Giuliani. He had very, you know, liberal positions about who to charge with a crime and what to do with nonviolent criminals. But Kamala Harris kind of ran to the center on that. Her famous line was, let's not run tough on crime or weak on crime, but smart on crime. That kind of puts her in the warm center where she's appealing to wide swaths of the Democratic voter. She ends up running, and you know, Willie Brown isn't on her arm, but he's behind the scenes, sort of encouraging donors to support her to get them on board. And you know, she during this campaign, she really focuses hard on, you know, campaigns as like a tough law enforcement cop on against Hollinan, and ends up running and winning an election for district attorney of San Francisco. And then, you know, and then from there, she just continues on the path, you know, to future office. She ended up as the California Attorney General, pretty much runs unopposed for that, and, you know, takes care of a few self-funding candidates. But once you're in the Democratic elite, they're kind of willing to just anoint you and push you forward.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
At what point does Obama come into this picture? Because, I mean, how do they meet? He's running for office, or what happens there?
Yes, when Obama's running for office, Kamala Harris famously endorses him instead of Hillary Clinton. And you know how much of a statement that makes. But in California, she benefited from that relationship because she sort of backs the new up-and-comer who ultimately won. She does a little campaigning for him. They're friends. He does some campaigning for her, comes by in California, helps her out in her district, in her attorney general race. And the two of them have a pretty warm relationship. I don't know if you remember the headlines back when he, at a fundraiser, he described her as one of the best looking attorney generals in the country. And that earned a lot of scorn and condemnation from a lot of her, her more, progressive supporters. Like, how dare you treat her this way?
And he ended up having to call. Only Trump says things like that.
Yeah, he ended up having to, calling her up to apologize. But it certainly didn't hurt Kamala's brand at this point.
No, I mean, that was her brand, was being a hot thing. So why should she be upset? And once you have the president or the man running for president coming out and saying that, that's got to be a boost. So I think that the miscalculation here is attorney general is a different race than even a gubernatorial race and certainly a presidential race. So I think that there's a time when she sees herself on equal footing with Gavin Newsom. And that's not really the case when you are attorney general versus the governor of a state like California, especially. He is very slick. He has lots of support. He is an excellent public speaker. I mean, he has been compared to, honestly, like the evil itself, because he is so convincing with his lies. She is very different than that. So how has that relationship gone over the years?
Well, that's interesting because they're both proteges of Willie Brown and they came up through San Francisco politics. So people have always kind of viewed the two of them as barreling down the same road in opposite directions on a one-way street, inevitable clashing. And for a while there, it looked like it would happen when Gavin Newsom was thinking about running for governor of California. Kamala Harris is already in her second term as attorney general. She's kind of eyeing the same thing. So the two of them are sort of staring each other down on this issue. But lo and behold, Senator Barbara Boxer in California steps down from her seat unexpectedly, sort of opening up a new avenue for either one of them. And then Newsom famously said, I'm not interested in the Senate seat. That gave Kamala an opening, and then she ultimately ran for that Senate seat, which was a pretty easy campaign to win at that point. And, when you're running in a one-party state and you already have the approval of all the party leaders and the elite, then you can just pretty much run away with it. And that's kind of what she did.
Well, I think that's the confusion for people on either side of the aisle. When you are in a strong one-party state, then there is kind of this misconception that you're so well-loved, you can go out and do anything, and everybody will feel the same way about you. And so I wonder if kind of that confidence of running for Senate in a, like you said, in a race that wasn't going to be hard for her to win, with the anointing of the Democrat elite. And that, to me, is a very big deal for people. They don't understand that once the Democrat elite comes in and says, okay, this is our choice, then that person has all the power behind them and all the money behind them. And it is an extremely challenging position for even Republicans to go up against that once there is an anointing. And so I can see how she would feel like, I can go to the next step. How does that happen, though? How does she decide, I'm going for president now?
Well, she really entered the Senate sort of, you know, she won her Senate race just as Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton. So she really saw herself as the next great superhero of the Democratic Party and sort of came into Washington, making an appearance at the Women's March, making this case that she was going to lead the party to rally against President Donald Trump and fight for everything that they stood for, you know, trying to encourage Democrats. And so she ended up in the Senate, she ended up sort of building this brand as like the tough prosecutor of President Donald Trump. You know, she had this law enforcement record and she was going to hold him accountable. But it, you know, in spite of mixed results, she did sort of earn a couple of these like viral videos that went live of her grilling Trump officials and making them uncomfortable, even though many of the Trump officials couldn't even understand what she was trying to get to, couldn't even understand her questions. There's so many examples of that that I put in the book. But ultimately, she does kind of emerge on stage as this major Democratic force, but and even earning respect from some of the prominent luminaries in the party, some of the donors in the party who are kind of on board with this idea of a Kamala Harris running for president. You look back at some of those reports, you had some of the biggest names really sort of pointing to her possible success at this. And so she definitely launched her campaign on a strong footing, but it all went kind of down from there.
Oh my gosh, it was such a failure. Her as a presidential candidate was a nightmare. And honestly, I think as a presidential candidate, she was still better than she is as a vice president. I don't remember these ridiculous word salads. I don't remember her struggling to the extent that she struggles on a daily basis now, to the point where it seems like they've almost hidden her because she is so hard to understand. And she sounds like such a child when she gets up and talks. It's like she's speaking in riddles, like she's Dr. Seuss. And nobody understands how did this woman become vice president? But getting back to her presidential campaign, I mean, she failed and she failed hard. And then they chose her.
Yeah, that's right. She really came out strong. And one of her first big mistakes was the Jussie Smollett that whole fiasco with that fake hoax. You know, Smollett was a friend of hers and she knew him, had attended marches together in California. And she really came out strong, leading the charge of all Democrats to back him. And ultimately, that when that turned out to be a hoax, she never really apologized and never really addressed that situation, never even condemned him for sort of misleading the people on that issue. So that was just the beginning. And then as she went on the campaign trail, she found herself tangled up on all kinds of issues. When they asked her about Medicare for All, she kind of fell on her face and said one thing during a debate. Went on Morning Joe the next day to correct herself, and then ultimately still not understanding what her position was on that issue, just trying to be as politically popular as possible without taking any strong positions.
I mean, that's something that we've kind of seen as a trend with Democrat, especially, sadly, Democrat women. I mean, if you look at Gretchen Whitmer, she has done the same thing. She's tried to be very popular. She's tried to have a brand, but she hasn't been able to actually focus on exactly where she stands on issues when it comes down to critical issues for the country. And I think that is overall hurting women in politics. I've heard people say, gosh, who should Trump choose for his vice president? Because are people ready right now after this disaster to say, oh, yeah, let's try a Republican woman and see if that's better? And I do think that this is devastating for women across the country, because I remember when she was elected and little girls were cheering at the television and saying, this is amazing. A woman is vice president. And yet this has been such a terrible failure. Even the early years of her vice presidency were so embarrassing. And it's almost as though the Biden administration set her up for failure. I mean, putting her in as the border czar right away, that was a joke. They never were going to actually have her do anything there. Why did that happen?
Well, Joe Biden really kind of wanted this buddy all-purpose vice president, and he really thought that Kamala Harris would be the first to be jumping in and jumping on some of these hot issues that he needed taken care of. After all, that's what he tried to do for Obama, so he really felt that she would just be just like he was. But it turns out Kamala Harris has her own political brand she's trying to protect. And Biden advisors quickly realized, oh my gosh, she's more interested in protecting her own political brand than taking some of these hot issues for the president. The border czar issue was a perfect example of that. They asked her to do this thing on root causes, and she repeatedly said, I am not the border czar. I will only focus on root causes in Guatemala, some of these other countries in the North Triangle. So she ended up really sort of sidestepping that thorny issue, protecting her political brand there. There's other instances where they wanted her to do events like show up at an airport and do an event on infant baby formula when the administration was under attack for that. She initially said no, forcing Jill Biden to do it. And then ultimately she did do an event, but only when, you know, it felt right for her. So she's still pretty fiercely protective of her brand. And yeah, the Biden administration, especially during those first few years, just kind of threw up their hands and kind of let her do whatever she wanted, because they certainly weren't helping out Joe. That's why she really struggled there for her first 3 years.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You say she's protective of her brand, but what is her brand?
Yeah, we recently saw that just this week. She has a long history of trying to reboot her image and her political campaign. And we just saw this again this week, was, you know, trying to return to that. I am a prosecutor. I'm here to prosecute President Trump. I'm going to be the one to hold him accountable.
There's not enough people doing that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be the one to hold him, you know, to account on issues of abortion, on issues of gun control. So she's really kind of trying to reboot, rebrand, even as her approval ratings are still somewhere in the mid 30s. And that's really a really bad place to be. And I don't know if she can ever recover from that.
So give us the inside scoop on how the word salads happen, because if you're vice president of the United States, you have people writing your speeches very clearly, and you're, I would hope, working with them, and then you've read them before you go out there. But it's almost as though she has no speech because she just says the same thing over and over again. How is that happening?
Yeah. During her biggest word salad moments is when she steps away from the teleprompter, when she drops her notes, when she grabs the mic and tries to riff. And what she ends up doing is just adding more and more dependent clauses on one theme, or trying to explain, you know, issues to people as if that they were children. It's really kind of insulting to your audience when you try to engage on that level, and especially when you're just piling more and more dependent clauses on top of an idea. She really had a lot of problems with that, especially during some of these like roundtables. But right now she's in campaign mode. She's a lot more scripted than she ever was. She has a couple of speeches pre-planned speeches that she's been practicing, and that's kind of what she has been relying on, leaning heavily on as she goes into the campaign season.
Quite honestly, going through what we just did, I mean, you look at this history. This is a woman who came out. She's an attorney. She has kind of this socialite party lifestyle, and she parties her way into some really big contracts where she's just sitting on a board and making massive amounts of money at a very young age. And then at some point, she marries a man who has two children. She does not have children of her own and has always been in with the elite, is at the highest level of the elite once she becomes vice president. How does she connect to the average American family when she's never been involved in anything remotely close to that?
Right. She got married to Doug Emhoff right before she launched her Senate race. And so that sort of relationship has been, you know, it's been very useful for her because Doug Emhoff has his own connections to wealthy Hollywood donors, you know, as an entertainment lawyer. And so the two of them have sort of emerged as this kind of power couple, and with Kamala Harris being the lead on that. But at this point, it seems like Doug Emhoff is more comfortable being in the public spotlight. He seems to enjoy life in Washington, whereas Kamala Harris doesn't really like the schmoozing, doesn't really like that aspect of the job. She'd rather sort of focus on what she's comfortable with.
It sounds like she hasn't had the opportunity to focus on that, whatever that is. If that's prosecuting Donald Trump, it's not her purview right now. That's not in her lane. So I'm not sure what is in her lane, but I just want to quickly bring Gavin Newsom into this, because there have been a lot of people who have said Gavin Newsom will step in for Biden. At the convention, they'll take him out. They'll put Slick Gavin in. What the question is like, well, what happens to Kamala? I've heard some crazy stories like, oh, they'll switch. She'll become governor. They hate each other. They can't be on the same ticket. How could you ever take, I mean, the thing I think everybody knows is you can't take Kamala off the ticket. Like that's a non-starter. So Gavin Newsom, how could they even be together?
Well, that's right. Right now, they're just praying that they can get Biden past the finish line, and they're doing everything they can to sort of protect him and get him there. And once they cross the finish line, and this is a big reason of why I wrote the book, is if Joe Biden can run and win in November, then there's a very good chance that Kamala Harris could be the 47th president of the United States if Joe Biden Right. steps down and can't finish his full term. That, and then you don't even need Gavin Newsom at all. However, if Joe Biden can't make it to Election Day, the entire party is going to explode, because there's so many different donors with different ideas of who should be the next, you know, heir apparent of the party. There's everyone knows, and everyone doesn't like Kamala Harris. It's amazing in D.C. when you're found wanting. D.C. can be pretty cruel, and they definitely are behind the scenes. You don't see anything in public because Democrats don't want to be accused of being racist and a sexist. But behind the scenes, they are fully disparaging of Kamala Harris, knowing that there's no way she could run and win against Donald Trump.
That's so funny. Like everything that they live for and believe, it's just all baloney. Listen, I'm pretty sure that if it comes down to it, Joe Biden's staff will pull that like Brazilian woman at the bank with the man in the wheelchair and wheel his dead body up to the ballot box and vote for himself, even though he's gone. Like they are so determined to get him back into office.
Absolutely. And it's not just the Biden team. It's the Obama team. It's every Democrat in the country. There were some serious conversations earlier this year of how can he possibly run and win? He's so old and he looks so bad. Even Obama staffers were just cringing at the very idea, but they've really worked hard to sort of put this together to get him out on the campaign trail, hold some of these moments, taking the short stairs onto Air Force One. He hasn't fallen yet. And really, they're feeling pretty confident at this point, especially after the State of the Union. But there's still 100 and some days to go. So every day, I'm sure everyone's holding their breath every time they see him walk onto a stage or climb the stairs to the presidential plane at this point.
Oh, you know they are. You can hear a pin drop. Everybody's like, okay, you made it. Good grief. Well, I am so grateful to you for doing all of this research. Thank you so much for coming on. Charlie Spearing, tell us where people can get the book.
Yeah, you can find the book anywhere books are sold, especially on Amazon. And follow me on Twitter at Charlie Spearing and Instagram. And happy to interact with anybody who has questions about the book or wants a book signed. So I really appreciate you having me on to talk about it with you and your audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for coming on. And thank you all out there for joining us for the Tudor Dixon Podcast. For this episode and others, check out TudorDixonPodcast.com. You can subscribe right there or head over to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And join us next time on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. Have a blessed day.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Leesa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988. Available 24/7.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279. Or visit CheapoAir.com/podcast.